Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on 12-11. 12.
Almost 12, 12, 12. What's the magic of that? Is there something?
Nah.
No. But the Mayan calendar, I think, is the, what, the 21st?
21st. It's all over.
It's all over. So who cares about the fiscal cliff anyway?
Yeah. That's what I say.
Yeah. So we're now here on a Tuesday evening. Clear skies here in Florida. Beautiful. And over Korea, we have a little rocket launch. What do you think?
You know, I think everyone in the world has a right to launch a rocket if they want to.
It's kind of like a...
It actually took off this time.
Yeah, it did. And it actually made it... It's kind of like a hobby, you know, like where, you know, people have model planes or they, you know, get sports cars. These guys like to shoot off big rockets.
If Elon Musk can shoot off a rocket, why can't North Korea?
I guess so. You're right. It's over, as long as it's over their land.
Yeah. Or the Pacific, you know, nobody owns the airspace over the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, but they get all freaky over in South Korea every time this happens.
Yeah, of course they do.
Can't blame them, I guess, right?
Well, if Elon Musk turns into, you know, Stavros Blofeld of the James Bond series, and we'll be a little nervous about that, I'll bet.
A couple of things in the headlines that were really interesting. First of all, I just mentioned before we go to these stocks, which we do later on in the show, of course, that I did a little add-up of the current stocks that are on the list. We're up about 9% on the list on average.
That's a good average for two guys just, you know, yakking.
Yep. Now, here's something I thought was really great. We may have talked about this, but how great is this? You issue bonds to people at $100 per, you know, par, right? So you sell $100,000 of bonds for $100,000.
Right.
We call that par. But let's blow that up to the mega, mega millions and billions. And then time goes on and your debt goes to crap. And you buy them back at 30 cents on the dollar. So that's what Greece just did. How great is that?
Well, you see this happen all the time. This is how capitalism works.
And they're going to reissue. Come on, this is what we call fuzzy math here. But they're going to reissue new bonds at what price do you think?
I would guess 100.
Right, exactly. And you know what? They're going to buy them up.
I'm reminded of a winery that used to be in Sonoma County that used to pull this stunt. They would... they made good wine too, and they would go broke, and then they'd take their bankruptcy through the auctions, and they'd buy all their stuff back.
I love these guys
at $30 on the dollar, and they'd start up again, and there they were, same wine. They'd go broke again. It was hilarious.
Several companies do this. You know, we've seen companies come out from bankruptcy or come out from going private, and they go public, and they go private again at a premium, and they just play this game. It's amazing. And you know what?
It's like Lucy and the football.
We keep on falling for it. Like you know, it can happen two or three times. And, let's go ahead and do that. No problem. And don't forget the fact that, you know, the one thing about the Greece situation, which is really cool, is that the way they got the money to buy back the bonds was from another bailout tranche that was paid to them. So they just, like, took this money and just it's gone.
Yeah,
and the schmuckos keep giving them more money.
I admire them.
Yeah, they got it down. Listen, that's the ultimate checkmate, and they know it. So they just keep on doing what they do. Anyway, some headlines tonight. Asia shares up on fiscal cliff optimism. Now, I think this is great because you got to set the stage of how ridiculously stupid this is. Today started out very nice. The markets moved up. Boehner came out at 12 o'clock sharp, did a kind of a conference, a mini conference from the floor of, where was he? He was, I guess, he was at the House. And he said that we need to have spending constraints. You know, this is the big thing, the big division between the two sides. One, they want spending constraints before they do anything in the area of increasing revenue through taxes. And the other side just says, hey, screw that. No restraints on spending. We just want to raise taxes. So he says, no, we're not going to do it. Harry Reid comes out at, I don't know, 3 o'clock and says, you know what? There's no way we're going to get this deal done by Christmas. Okay?
So let's take a vacation.
Right. So now the markets kind of dip down on this news. They get a little, they're going up nicely, I mean, really nicely. And then they kind of dip down, they're coming down and all that. And then about a half hour later, everybody forgets about that. And it kind of starts creeping back up, right? And meanwhile, the headline reads again that Asian shares are up on fiscal cliff optimism.
Well, are they listening to different news than we have here? I mean, where are they getting their stories from?
I have no idea. But you know what it is? You got to fill out the, you know, the thing is Asian shares up, and the wild card is what comes next. So you probably have a bank of 10 different things, right? On stimulus optimism, on earnings growth, on, you know, presidential change. It's like kind of a random thing they just throw in there every once in a while to put the reason. So here's the point. New Year's resolution for everybody. Stop reading the headlines. They're misleading and make no sense. And if you're only reading headlines and you're getting the gist of what you believe is the story, you're making a very big mistake.
Well, I've said this for years, and the headlines can reflect. I've seen headlines. In fact, I've written about this numerous times because I find it quite hilarious. If you can get a rundown of all the headlines on one story on a day, and sometimes you can, like say IBM earnings go down 10%. You can find the headlines up and down the line. IBM beats expectations.
Right, 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 right.
Because they were expected to go down 12. Or IBM tanks. IBM, you have that, and IBM earnings tank. IBM, you know, bad earnings for IBM. Good earnings for IBM. Same story. I mean, unbelievable what you can get depending on the service and how they want to slant the story.
Right.
And you can slant it any way you want.
Right, and that happens with economics a lot. You know, you see something that factory orders down less than anticipated. Well, is that good?
Yeah.
You know, or factory orders fall less than previous month. Well, is that good? I mean, you know, what does that mean? Or, you know, factory orders up, but they're only up like 0.1, and the expectations was for 0.7. So, you know, you have to look at the gut. I mean, unfortunately, in the world of investing, you have to look a little bit deeper than just a headline.
I've noticed that you don't have on your list of things to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
The talking about suppressed stories. You remember when Jack Welch came out and said, they're cooking the books. They're cooking the books. This is bull crap, these unemployment numbers.
Yep.
And so what happened?
Well, actually, the numbers came out last Friday. There were 147,000 gain on employment, and they thought there was going to be about a 75,000 or 80,000 gain. And the expectation was for a 7.9% unemployment rate. It came out at 7.7. Right as soon as that came out, I tweeted, "Where's Jack?"
But they restated the old numbers from 2 months earlier.
Yeah, but they weren't that bad. I mean,
but they were wrong, and they were down.
Yes, they were definitely, I think, 49,000 off.
Yeah, well, that with these low numbers they're producing here, 49,000 is a lot. The point is Welch said this was bull crap, and he was excoriated in the media.
Yep.
He was right.
Well, yeah, you can't say anything bad about the numbers and the people and all that. And, you know, talking about conspiracy, you know, we're only allowed to say, the only thing that's legal is to say that China has questionable numbers. You know, you can't say about anybody else. Listen, you know, the deal is this, that the job of the feds, the central bankers, the politicians is to really build confidence. You know, that's what their whole job these days seems to be.
Wait a minute. I thought that was CNBC's job.
Well, they're silver lining. They're always a silver lining. That's their job. We call them cheerleaders. But over in Europe, for example, you know, all the different speakers were coming out and talking about negative issues and positive issues. You know, they're kind of balancing out things over there until Merkel came out and said, you know what? It's not helping talking about the negative. We don't want to see any negative. This is about 6 months ago. Don't talk about the negative stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, don't talk about the negative stuff.
Yeah. So there's an odd bit to this market. You know, it seems like the year-end chase is on. You have the ultimate hope that a deal will be done. Everybody's believing something's going to be done. You might as well just
every time both sides say nothing's getting done, and both sides seem to want to go over the cliff, which will result in the minimum or the alternative minimum tax going into play for 30 million Americans. Nobody talks about it at all.
And that's a pain in the ass to calculate and to deal with on taxes.
It's a pain in the ass. It is hard. You need a computer for sure. But it always screws you to the tune of, anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 for the normal taxpayer and maybe more for others.
Well, especially for investors.
Right.
You know, who will have, you know, the possible income from sources that would be taxable with that wouldn't be taxable without this.
Right. No, this is a disaster. And yeah. Nobody's talking about that. I think they want to do it. I think they want to push us over the cliff. But this is my conspiracy side. Both sides are kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They want to blame each other, and they're going to take a chance on who eventually gets blamed. Push us over the cliff, throw in the alternative minimum tax, and then say, well, we've decided to start working on fixing it, but it's too late for the 2012 tax year. Once that January 1st hits, then, you know, you're paying whatever taxes were set in stone.
So yeah, unless they go back and then they retroactive and really screw our heads up with what to do.
They won't do it with the tax code. I mean, it's too hard to go retroactive when your taxes are due on, you know, January 1st or actually April 15th. But, you know, people could turn, you know, it's not good. You can't do this.
But John, how do we deal with a situation where we have a roadmap for something, which is, hey, here's the deal. For 4 years or so, we're going to roll back and reduce taxes and change the tax code to stimulate the economy. That's why they did it. Or however many years it was. But what we're going to do is put a limitation on it that when the time comes, we're going to roll it back because at that time we need to pay back all these, you know, reduced revenues that we received and all that and the excess amount of expenses that we paid and the entitlements, et cetera. How do you deal with the fact that it seems like no matter what, these politicians won't stick to anything? You know, Greece has X amount of dollars they have to save through austerity and cuts and all that. But if they don't make it, oh, it's okay. We'll give them another 2 years. Or the Basel III was supposed to be installed on a certain date for the banks to make sure their books and their records and their overall tier one capital ratios and the various capital ratios would be in the right level so that in the case of, you know, an emergency and bad things happening. And they say, you know what? Nobody's going to be ready for it. We'll push it forward. We're not going to do it right now. I mean, how do we deal with that? And how do we allow this?
I don't know how we allow it, but we do. The public are idiots. They don't care. Except for the listeners to this show.
Well,
generally speaking, the public at large, not investors that are trying to keep up with things, don't know anything. They're bamboozled by right-wing and left-wing talk shows. There's nothing in the middle. There's no talk shows that are kind of straddle, except no agenda. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they are put in a position just to argue and bicker and debate, and then they all get gouged, and they don't know who to blame. I mean, right now, there's, you know, certain polls have come out saying that if we go over the fiscal cliff, because the public relations has been handled so well by the Obama people, who obviously do a better job, the Republicans are going to get blamed. It may not even be close to their fault. I mean, they're trying, you know, although you have to say they're pretty stubborn about, you know, they keep commenting on, well, you know, at the top, you're going to up the rates on the top 2%. Give me here. You tell me what this is all about. You're probably in the upper 2%. The argument goes like this. We're not going to raise the tax rates on the upper 2%. And then the other argument says, well, it wouldn't make any difference if you did because the upper 2% have the best tax accountants and they get around it anyway. So they never pay those taxes. Many don't pay any taxes at all. Well, if that's true, which seems to be which everyone seems to subscribe to, plus the other little variable, which is the following. Oh, the upper 2% giving more money, it's not going to do, it's a spit in the bucket, it doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So we have all these things in a row. Why do the Republicans stick to this? Well, we'll raise the tax rates, knowing that these guys are going to get out of it. And why are they so stubborn about this upper 2% thing when they've been surrounded, they've been outfoxed, and they just can't seem to get over it? And I don't get it personally.
Is it possible? Just bear with me as I say this. Is it possible that they're trying to do the right thing for the long-term economy?
Well, see, that begs the question. these are politicians. There's no way any of this is possible. So let's just kick that one out the door. They're not trying to do anything for the right reason. Now, here's what my strategy would be if I was running the party. If I was in control, I'd do the following. And this is the only – the Republicans would come out smelling like a rose with this. And because they're not doing what I'm going to describe, I think they want to go over the cliff too. This is their – it's not our fault. They could point the finger at the other guy and the whole thing. It would go like this. Give Obama what he wants. That crazy Geithner thing. Geithner came up with this horrible scheme, which takes off this debt ceiling and does all these other things. Just give him everything. And with this excuse, look, the Democrats beat the crap out of us in the election, so the public doesn't like us. So the public wants to do what Obama wants to do, what he's been saying all along. The public also gave the Senate more Democrat seats. So they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They don't like the Republicans. They like the Democrats. The public wants the Democrats to run things. The public wants this. We have no leverage except just being stubborn in the House of Representatives. So we will. Here's what we're going to do. We don't like it. This is what the Republicans should be saying. We don't like any of this. We're against it. Everyone knows what our policies are. But we're going to, on faith, give Obama everything he wants. And then sign off on it and say, and then anything that happens after that, it's Obama's fault. Why don't they do that?
That would be a great plan because it kind of turns the whole deal from blaming the Republicans to blaming the potential for the failure on Obama.
Right.
In the long haul. And if we all agree that, I think everybody agrees that the spending is, first of all, to get back to your point about allowing Obama and then them just to automatically increase the debt ceiling whenever they want, that was ludicrous. I mean, that's just giving them a blank check more than they have already.
Yeah. No, but again, we're taking it on to, you know, you're the president. You got elected by a wide margin. We had our butts handed to us. You must know more than we do. The public has some sense of this. Here, let us know how this works out. You can always change it in the future. I mean, in 2 years is another election. You can kick some, you know, serious. You can really get rid of a lot of Democrats if you turn this over to the Republicans, or I'm sorry, to the Democrats, and let them screw it up. There's no way this is going to work, that this scheme of theirs. They're not cutting anything out. They're just going to raise some taxes and jack up the borrowing.
Well, I think that the only negative would be that if it does blow back, it will blow back, then how do you allow this to happen? So it's not only going to be
I think it's pre-explained. We can't do anything about it. We lost. We don't have the power.
Well, all I know is that they'll take it down to the last second and cause all sorts of problems. And, you know, unfortunately, at the end of the day, we're not going to be – if we just allow that to happen, just allow the increase on the top 2%, which is, by the way, just the theory of what it is. There's a lot more behind it, a lot more that really goes on. People's taxes will be raised anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But in theory
– everybody's taxes are going to go up.
What they're talking about is just doing the top 2%, but, you know, and nobody else – nothing else happens to anybody. You know, like everything is – nothing changes. But assuming – which is not true. But let's just assume that that's the belief out there.
Yeah.
Because it's all a political ruse. So they do that and, I mean, I guess, you know, let the chips fall where they may, which means that we'll just be essentially back to where we are in a couple of years, but just worse off. And, by the way, I'm sure, which this may or may not matter, that the U.S. debt rating will be downgraded.
Right. Yeah, well, if we go over the cliff, it's going to get downgraded for sure. And if they don't go over the cliff and Obama gets his way, it's just a matter of before the end of 2013, it will get downgraded. Because that situation of not cutting costs and expenses is ridiculous. I mean, it's a non-starter. So they don't know what they're doing. This administration, they have no businessmen in there. It's horrible.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, if you think about it, over the years, Japan has done the same thing. We've talked about this, but Japan has done the same thing. They just rolled over their debt. They keep on stimulating the economy, and look where it's gotten them. Their stock exchange is down 75% from where it was 20 years ago. The currency is 300% of the value it was on top, which makes it extremely expensive to buy anything from them. And at the same time, they have the world's largest debt outstanding. So, anyway, I don't want to talk about this. It's getting my blood pressure up.
It's the idea.
Pissing me off to no good. All right, so we nailed Dollar General, by the way. On 1024, we talked about there was a giant gap in the chart, the potential for it to fall if it does, in fact, weaken is going to move. It moved down 7.5% today. There was decent earnings, but the outlook was kind of lousy, bleak. They were very much negative on the outlook for the future, which is kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been seeing. We've been seeing that companies have been reporting decent numbers, again, against expectations, which were lowered, revenues that were soft, and outlook that was really kind of dim. Yeah. So we'll have to see. I mean, we keep on always, hey, next quarter, next quarter, next quarter. But right now we've been just in a range, in a trading range. And I think that right now you have what's going on is the end of the year optimism. And you could have a bubble burst. I'm not talking about a massive correction, but a bubble burst, you know, in the beginning of the year when people realize, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, yeah. I bought into these stocks and phew. So but we'll talk about that on that in a minute. Apple's just getting – I mean, Apple has become – to move Apple traditionally would take a lot of volume, you know, a lot of big investors to really – but man, that stock is moving around. It's down 3%. It finishes the day up 1%. You know, today it was up almost, I think, 2%. It was up 3% and changed part of the day. And what it looked like was a third tier upgrade by a sell side firm, which is usually people just totally not even look at this. So it's kind of bizarre what's going on with Apple. Mm-hmm. Serious rotation going in and out. Let's see.
You have a note on the rundown that says you have a 30 megabyte download at the office with a 3 megabyte upload for a ridiculous price. What is this all about?
So what happened was, so residential versus business pricing of the internet where I'm at, we don't have a choice. We're in a community where you have to have this one particular cable provider. Actually, the contract ends at the end of this month.
Who is this cable provider?
You never heard of it. Advanced Cable.
Never heard of it.
Right. It's just for this city, okay. Our city. Mm-hmm. Actually, this city and another city. And it was owned by the developers, and it was part of a bill in the beginning. Then it expanded. And for a long time, we still have crappy service. So at the house, it was like $49 a month, and you'd get like 10 megabit download and 2 megabit upload or something like that. But if the office... I was stuck with 7 down and 0.8 up for the 49. And if I changed the plan, it was going to – because I was grandfathered in, it would be much higher. If I wanted to go any higher, it was like $2.99 a month.
It's terrible.
$2.99 a month for the 30 down and for the 3 up, right?
Yeah, that sucks.
So I marched over to the office. I said, we need to talk because let me give you some straight poop on this. I'm using the internet during the daytime where your traffic is probably the lowest – that it is of any time during the day, because at night is when the kids come home and they watch the videos and they do the chatting and you get the big bandwidth suck at night.
Yeah.
During the day, there's nobody on. I mean, comparatively, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, there's nobody watching movies. That's what you...
Right, which is a huge amount.
That's
right?
Where it gets chewed. Yeah, during the day, people are surfing the web. They're transferring files. They're looking at stock market charts. There's not a lot of...
It's a fraction
going on.
Right, it's a fraction. So I said, and you're going to charge me $2.99 a month for what I can get at home for the exact same thing for $69 a month just because I'm a business? Are you out of your minds? So I had this long heart-to-heart with the guy, and I said, listen, you need to make an exception because I really would like this, but I just don't understand. Who can I talk to? So I talked to this manager, and I told him this whole story, and I tried to, you know, give him all these statistics right from my tuchus, you know? And lo and behold, a week later, they said, we'll do it. I said, okay. So I had to change out the modem. I had to change out my router because my router wasn't – it was only giving me about 12 because it was, I guess, it wasn't a real gigabit router. Hmm. You know, it was stuck. So anyway, now I got 30 down. Or it's actually like 31 down, which is very nice. But I'm happy. $69 a month. That's not that bad, is it?
No, that's reasonable. I mean, it's not cheap. You say ridiculous price. If it was $10, that would be a ridiculous price.
Well, it's not net zero, but, you know, it is compared to the $2.99 a month that they were trying to charge me, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Know? So I was kind of happy. We were sitting there busy testing our speed. You know, it was interesting. My daughter has the iPhone 5. Have you seen the speed test on that?
No.
With the LTE?
Oh, LTE is fast.
Oh, my goodness. It's like 18 up and like 18 down and like 15 up.
Yeah, if you can tether that, you can just use that. If you get unlimited LTE and tether it, you could. Mm-hmm. I actually, with my Android phone, I've got 4G, which is similar speeds, and you can tether it because Android phones have the you just push the, you know, there's a couple of settings, you set it, and it, so I tried it. I had the laptop out. I had the thing tethered on Wi-Fi.
Right. It works great, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It works very well.
Right. I do that with and the iPhone.
And that's
$29 a month.
Yeah. Well, this is part of the – this T-Mobile allows you to do it. You don't have to pay extra.
Right.
So so now when I go to the airport, where I was always – except for – actually, the airports I fly out of Oakland and Seattle, both have free Wi-Fi, airport-based. But sometimes you can't get on them because they're so packed.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you'll be in some airport and there's no free Wi-Fi. You can just tether like this and boom, you're on your way. You get, don't have to pay the outrageous $10 for an hour or whatever they charge.
That's good stuff. I love it. I love it. I mentioned to you and I sent you a picture. I was with Otis Day and the Knights on Saturday night.
Yeah.
He was a funny fellow.
Yeah, there's a picture of you with him.
Yeah, he can't sing. Well, he was performing. Sing,
yeah. He's you performing. Were on the stage. You were up, but it doesn't look like you're on the stage.
I said he was performing.
Did you go up on the stage?
No, I did not go up on the stage. It was a toga party, actually. I was in a black tie outfit because I just went to another event, and then I went over to this event with
a
toga.
I can see you floating around a black tie and a martini glass.
Oh, you go, oh yeah. That's exactly
just
how
all
it was.
The time, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Government is out of the AIG for a big profit, so they say. So the good news is that there was this big infusion of, I don't know, what? How much was it? $200-300 billion something or other dollars. And supposedly they're out of it and they made all sorts of money on it. So that's what they're telling us. So the good news is that the government goes in when everything's failing, buys it all up and then spits it back out and everybody's just happy, happy. The car companies, AIG, nothing fails.
Nah. It's great.
Yeah, great, great place. I don't know. Should we talk about gold or elephant poop? Which is your choice?
I don't know anything about this elephant poop story, but this is another example. I think that there's a. I think there's subtle. This started with the cat poop coffee.
Yeah, the civet or the weasel.
Yes, civet. Some weasel. Some.
I've had that.
Yeah, yeah. You've told me this. Yeah.
This is a lot more expensive.
Now this apparently is coffee from elephant poop. So the elephants, for some reason, I don't know that they ate coffee, but I guess they do.
No, they wrap it in some kind of thing elephants like to eat.
Oh, the elephants are tricked into eating it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then they poop it out.
Poop it out.
Which is, you know, unsightly. Because they're... Anyway, I don't want to get into the details.
I guess if you get up in the morning and you're working on an elephant poop coffee factory farm, right?
So you're pulling the elephant poop out and turning it into bags of fertilizer and finding the beans.
Yeah.
Which have gone through the elephant gut.
Yeah.
And then you sell this coffee for some outrageous amount of money to idiots.
Idiots.
Who are eating poop coffee and thinking it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the classic.
This is way up there. I mean, first of all, obviously, maybe you get tenure and you're the guy that gets to do the feeding. I'm not sure how that, you know, works when you get to switch jobs all day or something. But they've only made like, I think it was like 7 kilos of total coffee they produced. Something ridiculously small. And it's like $50 a cup. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah.
The big concern was that the caffeine was going to and the coffee was going to be affecting the elephant. And they were worried about this.
Yeah, I would be.
They were worried. And they found out somehow, I don't know how, they asked the elephant, do you jittery? I don't know. You know, and it's not affecting the elephant. So this is good news. But there's a video on – I put a video of this up on the Discipline Investor. I just thought it was ridiculous. So you can check it out and what they do. And, you know, this is, you know, people need to get to have distractions, I guess. Gold. So gold actually is kind of teetering on a funny area. It's in a breakdown area. It's kind of holding a little bit. It's been slumping. It's on that 1700 line. So a lot is going to be, I think, dependent on tomorrow. The Fed is going to be giving their rate decision. They ended a 2-day meeting. They'll end tomorrow with the rate decision, which obviously is going to be no decision. A lot of discussion about maybe announcing another quantitative easing round once the Operation Twist ends. And the question is going to be, how do markets react to this? How does the dollar react to this? If they do quantitative easing, I would think that a lot of people have been already thinking this is the case and gold has been building on that. I would be looking to possibly consider shorting gold into this.
Wasn't the last quantitative easing open-ended, which would negate the necessity for another round?
Yeah, so it's infinity squared.
Yeah, it's an infinity QE. Right. So why would you have another QE? This reminds me of the joke about the Irishman and the genie.
Oh, do tell.
I mean, it basically, and this is the best example of this joke in real life. Irishman comes across a little lamp, rubs it, a genie comes out.
Okay.
And says, oh, what is this? He says, I'm the great genie, and I'm going to grant, you've released me. I'm granting you three wishes. And the Irishman says, well, I've been really thirsty of late. Can I get a glass of Guinness?
Oh.
And, of course, I should be doing this in an Irish accent, which I can't do very well. And the genie says, I'll go you one better. And he, boom, a glass of Guinness shows up, and the Irishman drinks it, puts it down, and fills up again.
Ah, unlimited.
He drinks it, puts it down, it fills up again. And the genie says, what would you like for your second two wishes? And the Irishman says, I'll have two more of these.
Mm-hmm.
This joke was beyond your comprehension?
Give me a moment. So obviously he's Irish, so he likes to drink, and he gets a moment of drinks. I gotcha.
Okay.
Yes. I thought you were going to finish off with, he would like another wish. And then it just keeps on rotating. But okay, that's good.
Is the quantitative easing example based on an Irish joke.
Yeah, now here's the thing. Remember, I told you this, that every single time the Fed reannounces the same thing, markets are all happy. So day one, there'll be quantitative easing through the end of 2014. Markets go up, things are happy. A couple of days later, markets are just not doing much. They may go down a little bit, whatever. Day three, we're going to be doing quantitative easing through the end of 2014. Markets rally up. It's like, wait a minute. Why are they going up again? Did somebody think they were taking it away in the meantime? How did that work? A couple days later go by. We're doing quantitative easing until 2014. Markets go up again. It's like, what is going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are people – I think it – honestly, I really do think it has to do with algorithms that are programmed to buy on certain news items. I'm serious. And I think they're programmed – you know, because think about it, how fast markets react. And if the news item spits out, it probably goes through the computer because these are programmed for macroeconomic events. And they go through the computer, they see the certain words, see the certain language, and they just start either buying or selling on that. So, you know, until somebody steps in and says, no, maybe that wasn't the right thing, it reversed the trade or something.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Now, when the Irishman had the glass of beer and it kept refilling itself.
Right.
Why would you want to get two more of them when it was infinitely filling itself?
It's a stupid thing. It's just stupid. It's ridiculous. I get it.
Whatever the case, personally, I like the idea of all this, of course, because I'm of the opinion that we should be printing more money.
Mm.
And I've made this clear because it reminds me of how it put off the crashes and problems of the 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we find gold. Finding gold in the wild, it's essentially like printing money. You're finding gold, there's more gold. You go out and there's gold out there, you grab it and you spend it. Like, you know, it's the same thing as printing money, it seems to me. It's like counterfeiting, actually.
Isn't the difference that gold has a potentially limited quantity? Isn't that why gold prices move up, because a certain quantity and a supply-demand issue?
Yeah, but in a situation where there was a limited amount of gold, and all of a sudden if $30 trillion worth of, in today's dollars, of gold shows up and goes right into the economy, don't you think that would have some other kind of an effect other than, you know, some say, well, you know, there's only so much gold in the world. Well, there sure seems to be a lot of it. I think this is the same. I've never not believed this is the same as printing money, and that's exactly what we're doing. And it's still – unless there's some – credible inflation from printing money, and I haven't seen it.
Right.
What's the problem?
Here's the deal. I agree with your basic analysis, but there's one flaw. The flaw is that it's not that they're finding gold and they're using it to put into the economy, so therefore you have a little bit more supply and all that. The equivalent of monetary easing and printing of money is the equivalent of alchemy, creating gold out of thin air and as much of it as you want, which would then bring down the price of gold because it's no longer a rare object that has a limited supply, a finite number that's in circulation. And with alchemy, it's the equivalent because you're basically using some other method to create essentially either fake or a new supply. And that's just a very simple mathematical equation of supply and demand just goes in that. So I think that's where the difference is. Now, whether or not it's creating inflation is all a matter of, you know, opinion. I mean, there is no inflation from government statistics. I'll give you that. But again, we've talked about this 100 times. You cannot tell me that your expenses for your daily living have not changed for your basic expenses from last year or the year before till now. There's no way. I just filled up my car. It was $86 to fill up my car.
Yeah.
My insurance is higher. My air conditioning bill is higher.
Yeah.
My gardeners are charging more money. You know what I'm saying?
How many gardeners do you have?
I have 4.
Really?
Well, I like to change them, you know, week to week. I have 1 gardener, for goodness sakes. My gardener is a gardener.
How many butlers do you have?
None.
Well,
that's only because I fired them. I'll get one next week.
I could go for a butler.
That'd be nice. Yeah. But my wife's good like that. She handles a lot of stuff for the house, so she's great.
So anyway, okay. Well, I understand. My analogy is not perfect.
Well, it's actually flawed.
But I'll tell you why it's not flawed.
Okay.
Because yeah, the way you're describing it, it sounds flawed. But in fact, there was X amount of money injected. Whether it was in gold or whatever, or printed money or anything else, injected into the economy to prop it up.
Right, because some of it disappeared.
And let's just assume that it doesn't make any difference what it was. It was still an amount, and it was injected into the economy, and it kept the economy from collapsing.
Right, and it devalues the dollar, though. That's what it does. And that's why they do this. Devaluing the dollar is a good thing because it extinguishes a lot of the debt we have over time. And the second thing is that it makes our exports much cheaper.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the idea. Well, that's the idea. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that's the idea.
Some people don't like it. I don't like it when I go to Europe not to pay a 30% premium on everything I buy.
Right. I agree.
But then again, you know, here it doesn't seem to – I mean, it does. You're right. Everything is – a lot of stuff is expensive. I just filled up my tank, too, and it was like $70.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this, $70?
So let's talk about this new iPhone. Let's get off the subject of serious stuff and talk about this new, maybe killer iPhone phone. This Russian seemed to have this new device that's coming out by Yota devices. It's this new dual screen product that's going to break the mold of multiple technology. It's combining an LCD screen on one side. Now, by the way, I'm not saying this is good. I'm just bringing this up. LCD screen on one side. And an electronic paper display on the other, allowing a seamless integration of streaming while promising better battery life. I sent you an image of this thing. You see the image there?
Hold on.
It's it's kind of a iKindle phone thing. It's a 4.5-inch screen across. Runs on Qualcomm 8960 with the Google Android Jelly Beans OS. And it's priced about $500 approximately. The back screen is a black and white reader. And the front is a full LCD touchscreen.
Yeah.
I'm not really getting this totally. Like,
Wait. Let me try to go into your brain and figure out what you're thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're looking at this going, what's the point?
That's exactly right. I don't understand. I don't understand why you have a screen on the other side that's black and white. I don't get it. Is that so in case it's sunny? Maybe because it's sunny outside? It's better reading? But I don't know. You read on an iPhone and all, it looks good unless it's really, really sunny.
It's
so then you
fine,
got the Kindle issue. But then you got the Kindle issue, which looks good in the sun, but you can't see it. You know, a lot of these things are in the dark.
No, you can't.
So... and the camera's on the bottom. I don't know. Something here is bothering me.
Yeah, it seems like a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, this is a new product. You got to check it out. It's called Yota. It's a Yota device. I don't know what the actual name of it is. Does it say what the name of it is? The Russian rival Yota, a Russian company which once had military ties, seeks to take on the fight against Apple's iPhone with this dual-screen smartphone. I don't know.
So when he first described it, I thought it was like, you know, like book, like dual screens that would open up and you have two screens. But no, this right. one screen's on one side and one screen's on the other side.
And God help it if you drop it.
Oh, yeah. No, you're breaking this thing. This is a...
Right.
This is,
so then maybe that's the point. You break the screen, you got the other side to work with.
That could be. I think a lot of Apple iPhone people would like that. They break yeah. these things left and right.
Right. Kind of a replacement screen. So... Anyway, we talked about the pot companies, the marijuana companies for a while. This MDBX is starting to kind of fly around again. Mm-mm. It was up like 23% the other day, up 45% the other day, down 22%. It's just, they're not a lot of shares trading, but this is something to watch. This is, you know, if somebody out there kind of has a crazy wild hair, you know, you buy a couple of shares of this thing and just let it sit because you'll get nauseous, by the way. Just watch it.
Just like which pot seems to correct.
Yeah. Exactly. So if the thought is that a lot of places will have the legalization of marijuana and there is these machines that will be dispensers, you know, and they get ahead of like, I guess, well, hey, this is good. How about a combination pot dispenser red box video dispensing machine alongside of a Coca-Cola and Frito machine all together in one?
I bet you these things more likely to show up with the condom machine in the bathroom.
Ah, that's a good point. Condom and tampons or pot. Did it change out the thing where you put the quarters in?
Yeah, well, actually, the tampon thing will be the same kind of shape.
Oh, that poor guy that starts smoking the wrong one.
This, I'm not getting an eye off this stuff. Yeah.
Man, this thing flames up easily. What's the deal?
Jeez, I can't get him to laugh at the Irish joke. And
that was stupid, that joke. This is funny. Yeah. Anyway, there's some hubbub. There's some kind of commentary about the potential for this Ron Johnson to be stepping down or being fired from JCPenney. Have you heard this?
You know, this has been a household discussion that we have here because Ron Johnson is the famous retail superstar that apparently the rollout of the big Target rollout from Target stores came into the Apple scene and developed the Apple Store system, which has made Apple just filthy rich. And I'm now wondering, and then they took him over to JCPenney's where he's supposed to start changing things. And there was he changed the logo.
Wow. That was, by the way, that was impactful.
Yeah, well, he changed the logo, and then he apparently doesn't like the idea of sales, which is what JCPenney's is all about, at least over the last 40 years.
Yeah, he has some issue with that.
And so he wanted to change a few, just everyday low prices. And he was supposed to redesign a bunch of the stores. I've only seen one store in Washington State that I think was kind of redesigned. The one I have over here, the closest JCPenney's is in Richmond, in the Hilltop Mall. And I was there the other day looking at it, and it was like, it looked like the same shoddy, you know, like I'm about to go out of business, you know, somewhere, existing somewhere in between a Dollar General store and a, you know, warehouse. It's just horrible, and nothing's been done. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, this may not be scientific, but when my wife tells me she's no longer going to that store, I'm not kidding. There's something there.
What?
You know, she's like a man on the street kind of thing, you know?
What did she say about it?
She just says she doesn't even know what the hell's going on there anymore. It used to be great pricing, good stuff. You know, you didn't always have what you wanted, but there was always good deals and bargains and stuff like that. Now it's crap. That's what she said.
I'm not going to argue with the point. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's wasn't the go-to guy at the Apple stores. Maybe there are some consultants that were more responsible. I think he's losing credibility as a superstar. He hasn't done crap. I mean, the stock's down. What did we do? We shorted it.
Yeah.
We shorted it as a dual short, and because it was being overrated because of this guy. But yeah, he's got to go.
Now, I must tell you, we are now, for our clients, we're long this stock.
Okay.
And the reason for that is a couple things. The potential for him to go is actually, I think, a positive for the stock. Anything.
How long has he been there? 2 years?
I don't even think 2 years. Maybe a year.
No, I think, we should look it up. But anyway, okay, go on.
So that's first of all. Second of all, we're in the time of year that you want to find the crappiest stocks that have just been done miserably, because there's a theory that the stocks that performed the worst in the last, let's say, year or 2 years are going to have a revival. And we saw that with like real estate stocks and home builders and banks. And there's this rotation that seems to happen every, you know, year or so, where investors will kind of like move into the value plays. We're starting to see that with again. They're starting to move into it. Dell, HP, actually we got stopped out of HP and Dell.
Both?
In the, Yep.
Well, while we're on the topic, since we're running out of time, we should jump to our stocks and take a look at these stopped out guys.
Yep. Let me get over there. Okay. 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 So we were stopped out on HP. HP was down at the 1150 range or something like that, 11-ish. So we just got stopped out.
What was the total gain? 50%?
57.
57% was your gain.
Yep. Dell was 25.
That's not bad.
Yep. Cracker Barrel is still munching along, up 7%. Icon up 5%. TransDigm Digital up 3%. Leg Basin Short is just going nowhere, down 3%.
We have a lot of green.
Yep. Chickens up 30%. We got a bell. What do you got? A clucker? What do you have? You have a honker?
I don't have.
Nothing. Can you
make
a noise?
No, chicken noise. Here it comes. Ready?
Yeah. The chicken train. The chicken express is coming by.
The chicken express.
Let's see. Market Vectors ETF Vietnam actually was a real dog for a little while. It pulled up nicely. Hain Celestial is up 8.5%. Dollar General was a big loser today, which is good. Was short, up 9.5% there. Silver Wheaton up 5. Macy's flat. Starwood's down 3. Navistar, the company we didn't buy, which I told you, this is what I said, we got to buy crap. Remember, that's why I said that back then, right?
And we bought it. It's right there.
13.5%. Yep, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, yeah, after looking at the chart and saying this is the worst looking chart in history.
History.
And we talked, we went counterintuitive.
Yep, exactly. JetBlue was short, but it's down 4%. Facebook up 29%.
That, by the way, that was a good call on your part.
Yeah. AMD was nice, up 14%.
That's good.
Michael Kors was down about 4% yesterday. It was starting to really gain some momentum to the downside after the Vera Bradley numbers of last week. And, of course, Goldman comes and says, hey, we think this is attractive here. So that, you know, pushed the stock up. You're up on your – let me say this. You are up on your Apple short.
Not much.
All right.
But it's still – anything can happen. We're getting right to the point.
Rare green. Yeah, rare green. GNC Holdings short is up 2%. We have some buys here, too. 3D Systems, the 3D printing company, up 6%. And I am adding – the ProShares Ultra Gold Short ETF to the portfolio.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake.
Oh, it may very well be. It's going to be all about tomorrow. All about tomorrow.
I got nothing. Let me take a look at my my insider trading stuff, because I always like to – I mean, it hasn't paid off big yet, but it's not.
Let's just also clarify a few things. First of all, when John says insider trading, he means insiders buying and selling.
So right.
He says it all the time. But we'll just say it.
I do say that.
The second thing is that this is just a game that we play, and this is not for any recommendations or suggestions to buy or sell anything that we talk about. Please do not use our ideas just to use our ideas. Please go and seek personal financial advice that is appropriate for your risk. Thank you very much.
So I'm looking at this, and the most interesting one in the group is Vistaprint.
Oh, I like them. I like Vistaprint. Actually, not only do I like Vistaprint, I just got something in the mail from them.
They actually can
put a designer logo now for an iPhone.
Huh.
Like they can print. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, so this guy, Thomas Smith, has just been buying and buying and buying at very different rates. I mean, he keeps buying and buying and buying. Usually $1.5 million, $1.7 million. 2.8 million at one point at a pop, and he's been doing it for – he just keeps doing it. I mean, forever. So I think I'm going to put – I think this may be a thing to put on here, so I think I'll do it.
Look at the chart here. Chart is – you're about – you know what? From a chart standpoint, are you looking at the daily chart of this?
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the –
all right, well, let me just show you what this guy's got. A gigantic drop in November, probably on earnings, okay? And it comes down, and it bases out and starts moving back up. Now – in December, it flattens out, comes down a little bit. Now it's starting to come back over the top. You move over the top of that, you're golden. Seriously.
What's the symbol? VPRT?
VPRT. Look at the.
I'm heading there. I'm heading there now.
Yeah, look at the pattern here. You see that dip and then the up and then the roll down a little bit now, and it kind of shook out a few people and that were buying at the top there, and now you see it come back up.
Yeah,
you pass that like $32 range, approximately 32 and a quarter. You can have a nice little pop up to probably 34.
It might go up to 40.
It could go to 75. It could be bought out. Who
could
knows?
Could be goes to a million.
So I like that. VPRT.
All right.
I like it. Actually, I bought business cards. They do a really good job.
I agree. They do a good job. They're relentless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Direct marketers. I mean, it's like, buy free. And then you go and it's like, yeah, you can get a couple of cards free. They want to put their own logo. They want to put their website address on there.
Exactly.
You have to pay $5 to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's worth it.
Yeah, now, it's a good product. It comes in a couple of days. It shows up, and you get a bunch of business cards. Like we have, you know, I picked up a few here and there for different things, different projects.
So Phil Landau, I guess he's the, the chairman. Let's see, he's a director. Actually, a bunch of sales from a PVH, Phillips and Usen, $233 million. God bless him. So I have to say, I was just commenting that that's great. $233 million he just sold.
Well, you know, these people have to take stuff off the table.
I like it.
All right.
I want to see if there's anything else coming up here. DG came out. We don't have much in earnings tomorrow. Oh, look at that stock. Geospace Technologies. Wow, it's a straight job up. Just looking what else came out today.
What's the symbol of that?
GEOS. I think Costco's in the morning tomorrow as well. I believe Costco, or maybe it's after hours. I forgot which one. I think Costco's coming out before hours.
I'm getting very disappointed in Costco.
Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just my local store.
Maybe.
Wow, look at that thing.
Well, the drop, do you see the drop there on Costco?
No, I'm talking about Geospace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm going to look up MedBox while we're at it. MDBX. Let's see, it was up. It's only up 21% today at 46.
So
the volume was 20. MDBX.
No, Costco. I'm
COST.
Behind.
COST.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Now, that big drop you may see there, I think you may see there.
Yeah, I do.
That's not really a drop. It is a drop, but it's not really a drop.
Okay.
It's the dividend they paid. I paid a $7 dividend, dividend.
All the rage.
It's unbelievable. Let me see when they're coming out with earnings. Costco. Maybe we're going to begin earnings Wednesday. Joy Global and Costco are coming out tomorrow, and a page cannot be found that I'm looking at, unfortunately. Costco, Whisper Numbers Impact, Costco, Bloomberg. Let's see. How to play Costco ahead of the earnings. On today's... for goodness sakes. I have no idea. Costco's been doing great. Gangnam Style makes you feel better. I don't know what that is. Probably. Where's the earnings announcements on this? I'm on some site that I've never been on before. Mm-hmm. That's probably why. Corporate events. Oh, here we go. Corporate events. That'll tell us. Because it'll tell us what time the thing is. Costco. No, forget it. I don't know. I'm giving up.
All right. Well, we can finish the show then.
We could.
And I think we should.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let me just go one more place. They're looking for 95 cents.
At Costco?
Yeah, let's see. Wednesday, December 12th. Joy Global and Costco. That's all I know. I don't know what time they're coming out. So much for that. Anyway, it's been really nice talking to you.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row, actually.
It's a record. So everybody, please make sure to continue listening to No Agenda, The Disciplined Investor. Of course, you can follow The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Or Andrew Horowitz on Twitter. You'd find out all the things that you need to know in life. Actually, just listening to us, probably no agendas. You don't need anything else.
I would agree with that, but now I want to mention something which you kind of put in an email. We have gotten no offers from any of our loyal listeners to supply us with a couple bottles of Lefroy 30.
What's up with that?
You know, I don't know, but I think somebody should give us one bottle each of Lefroy 30. And just email us and to get the details on how to get it over to us. But we'll be what?
Happy to supply you with addresses.
Yeah.
And we'll supply them with addresses. And not only that, in the same spirit of no agenda, we will announce your name. And could we have some music behind it, maybe?
I could arrange that for sure.
We could have music. We had a music behind your name, and you will be king for a day on the DH Unplugged show.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, right?
John at Dvorak.org is my email, or, you know, Horowitz has got some long one.
Just send it to info at thedisciplinedinvestor.com or ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com or schmucko@horowitzco.com.
We got plenty of email addresses.
It's no problem finding us. So if you think that we're begging, I don't want to like make this sound like we're begging.
Oh, I don't care.
But we're begging. We want to know.
He's
that
never
we
had
wild.
The. Oh, you actually? Did you have?
I have like, another 30, I had 16.
Oh yeah, no.
So
comparison.
How do you pronounce that again? What is that?
Lafroig.
And where do they have those things? Can you? I mean, do they still have that place about by you? That K&L?
K&L won't have it. The place that has Lafroig 30, I believe, is the cannery which is in I think Ghirardelli Square. I think the cannery. There's these two places that are in the tourist area, but there's a liquor store in there. I think it's called the Cannery Liquors or something like this. They have an unbelievable supply of liquor. And they have Lafroig 30 there. It's around. You can go online and get it. There's all kinds of places that have it.
That would make us really inspired. And actually, we'd even, not only that, we toast you on the air. How's that?
There you go. A toast.
A toast also.
Yeah.
Right? Toast. Music behind it. You'll be king for a day. And, you know, just our best friend for life.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. All right. Okay.
I'll see you next week, my friend.
Okay. Adios.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.